Our next case is 13-16-19, State of Ohio versus Matthew T. Moll. Mr. Van.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. My name is Daniel Van, representing the state of Ohio in this case. If I may, I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, which will be handled by my colleague, Mr. Hendershot. State of Ohio is asking this court to reverse the decision of the 8th District and to hold that revised code 2907-03-813 is rationally related to a legitimate governmental interest and survives any facial challenge. Mr. Moll would fail to demonstrate that this statute is unconstitutional under all circumstances, which is required for a facial challenge.
So what is the legitimate governmental interest?
Your Honor, the legitimate government interest in this case is twofold. The first interest is protecting children from sexual abuse. The second legitimate government interest in this case is ensuring that peace officers are beyond reproach and do not violate the public's trust by engaging in sexual conduct with minors. The General Assembly enacted a statute in regards to this because peace officers, are to be held to a higher standard than the public.
Well, counsel, I can understand theoretically what you're saying, that you don't want police officers using their authority as a police officer with minors to coerce them into sexual activity. And that would be, I certainly see that, but in this particular instance, would you agree that the police officer was not identified as a police officer?
Yes, Your Honor.
Wasn't wearing a uniform. There was absolutely no indication. In fact, this was an internet meeting?
Yes, Your Honor.
And so he is saying that he thought that the teenager was 18, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the teenager, who was 14, I think, at the time, didn't know that this person was a police officer. So there was no exertion of any kind of authority or status that would have been a pressure on this child, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Under these facts, but it is the state's position that there doesn't need to be this coercion, if you will, for there to be an unconscionable advantage.
What's the unconscionable advantage here?
The unconscionable advantage in this case, it's the situation of a peace officer who certainly is embodied with lots of authority, given authority.
But he didn't use that authority with the child.
Correct, but it is the authority, the inherent authority with the position and the amount of public trust that comes with the position. Yes, that was his defense, that he was unaware
but
of
counsel,
the...
Counsel,
if that's
isn't
the
that
case...
Let me just
finish here. If that's the case, it's why don't we enhance all crimes? That if you're a police officer and you do any of these crimes, because we hold police officers to a higher standard, you're going to have an enhanced penalty. DUIs, any offense that someone commits, police officers included, that has nothing to do with them wearing the uniform or how they do their job or job related.
Well, Your Honor, that could be legislative.
Are you saying because police officers should be the pillars of the community by virtue of the fact that they're public servants who are entrusted to ensure the public safety, that any time they breach the law, they should be held to a higher standard, or only in this case when it comes to child sexual abuse?
In this particular case, yes, the legislature has spoken and indicated that this is an important interest. It is a legitimate governmental interest. You know, those other, you know, crimes.
What about
that
the other areas that, I mean, about having a police officer who is involved in drug activity or driving while under the influence of alcohol?
That could be a legislative choice for someday, but you know, that's not the current status of a law. Enhancements.
Counsel, isn't that the problem that the Court of Appeals had? Court of Appeals seemed to suggest that, yes, you have a compelling interest in police officers not having sex with minors. Everybody gets that. But what about teachers? What about doctors? What about social workers? Isn't there a real serious equal protection question here? And isn't that where the Court of Appeals said this is unconstitutional?
Yes, Your Honor, this was presented as an equal protection challenge, a challenge to the statute on its face. The General Assembly over time has expanded sexual battery to include those other areas such as teachers or instructors at universities. And if we look at those other statutes, as Amicus had pointed out, those don't actually require as elements of the offense knowledge on the part of the teacher that the other person is a student, or vice versa. That is how the General Assembly chose to define the offense. And even if there are concerns about the scope of the legislature's intent, all the arguments presented by Moll, all the concerns, you know, addressed by the Court of Appeals, those were sort of concerns. I'm going to describe them as concerns of the statute being maybe over-inclusive in some instances or under-inclusive.
And isn't that one of the concerns here? I know we're talking police officer, but actually the statute says peace officer, and that includes a host of what would be beyond what most of us consider police officers, including private security, forest officer, tax investigator. I mean, this, if you look at the statute's definition of peace officer under 2935.01b, you have a number of other individuals that would be encompassed in this statute. Would you not?
Yes, Your Honor, I would agree with that. And again, that goes back to the policy choice. And it's the state's position that those policy goals should equally apply to all those categories of peace
officers.
So the
police officer should be held to a higher standard, and so should the forest officer, preserve wildlife officer, park officer. Those are all on the same, we have the same purpose for those individuals?
Yes, because all those categories have certain police powers within their respective jurisdictions. If you've tracked the statute.
But what does their police power have to do with the crime?
What their police power has to do with the crime is the fact that they are not only adults, they are adults in a position of authority. And when
wouldn't the victim have to know that they were in a position of authority for that statute to make sense?
No, Your Honor, I don't think that's a requirement of the statute. I'm aware of any statute that places a mens rea requirement on the part of the victim. A statute punishes the offender for the offender's conduct. The statute doesn't seek to punish the victim for what the victim knows
well,
or doesn't.
Mr. Van, sentencing laws, our sentencing statutes already take into account if a victim was using the office for the purpose of committing the crime, and the judge who is sentencing can consider that in giving a more strict sentence. Isn't that sufficient? Why do we need a statute of this type when we already have sentencing laws in effect?
In terms of this exact offense, between peace officers and victims. Your Honor, I think this statute was enacted and is necessary to cover all minors, not just minors under the age of 16.
Mr. Van, in a hypothetical situation, if the officer had used his authority to coerce a child into a sexual situation, would your view be that the statute would be constitutional in that circumstance?
Yes, Your Honor. The statute would be constitutional in that circumstance.
This was a facial challenge, meaning that in all circumstances, no matter what, the statute is unconstitutional.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's... Shouldn't this have been considered by the court as an as-applied constitutional challenge, as opposed to a facial challenge?
No, Your Honor, and I think the difficulty with an as-applied challenge, if we accept this limited policy view of who the sexual battery statute should apply to, what makes it difficult is that Mr. Moll is raising this argument, saying that there's an equal protection violation because it treats peace officers differently from others with respect to sexual conduct with 16 and 17-year-olds. He's saying others... individuals can engage in this conduct with 16 and 17-year-olds, and peace officers cannot. The problem in Mr. Moll's case is that the victim was 14 years old at the time of the offense. That makes an as-applied challenge difficult, and it should be raised at the first instance. That provides everyone on notice at the first instance, from the trial level to the appellate level, exactly what the arguments are.
Was it raised in the trial court?
No, Your Honor. This was always presented as a facial challenge, and it is still being defended under a facial challenge. And because, Your Honor, as you pointed out, the statute would reach that instance of coercion by a peace officer, that is a valid abuse of the statute. It is constitutional on its face. As a result, Mr. Moll fails his burden of demonstrating that the statute would be unconstitutional under all circumstances. If there are no further questions, Your Honor, I would ask this court to reverse the decision of the 8th District, and I would reserve any remaining time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Perez.
Thank you, Your Honors. My name is Richard Perez. I represent Matthew Moll, who was convicted of an offense merely because he was a peace officer, a police officer. He was charged with a statute that required no intent, no knowledge. It was a strict liability statute. It treated him differently than anybody else in the state. Based on his status as a police officer, with no rational basis for that.
But he had sexual relations with a 14-year-old.
He did, he was also charged with unlawful sexual conduct of a minor that dealt with that, because nobody can have sexual relations with
right,
someone.
Right, when
16,
you said he's only did this, he did have, nobody
did.
Has permission to do that.
Nobody has permission, and there was a crime for that. This case, and there was a hung jury on that, it was actually 8 for the defense, 4 for the state, and they chose not to retry that issue.
And that was because of the fact that, he thought the child was 18?
He thought the child was over 16 or older. So the statute says that no person shall have sexual conduct with somebody who is under 16, knowingly or being reckless in that regard. This was a special kid. This kid went on the internet. He portrayed himself and masqueraded as an 18-year-old. My client believed him to be 18 years old. There was no allegation that anybody knew he was a peace officer. He never had any peace officer equipment on him. It was never mentioned.
But there's no statutory requirement that he have any of that, is there?
Pardon?
There's no statutory requirement that there be anything. The state's burden is to demonstrate that he was a peace officer.
The state's burden is, was there sexual conduct? Was he a police officer, and was the other individual a minor?
And said that's a strict liability.
A strict liability. The only thing you can challenge is whether or not there was sexual conduct. in the case that we're in front of you at this.
Is that a policy choice of the General Assembly in our state?
Well, the General Assembly apparently feels that in all other cases under the sexual battery statute that there has to be some form of coercion or some sort of relationship.
But
some
not
sort
in
of,
this instance.
This instance.
And is that a policy choice of our General Assembly in Ohio?
It's an unconstitutional policy choice because
they're
saying that a peace officer, without using any authority, merely on his status, a Marietta police officer, 21 years old, goes to Ashtabula, meets a 17 and a half year old girl. They don't even discuss the fact he's a peace officer. He doesn't have any authority over there. They engage in sexual conduct. He's got 1 to 5 years in prison. He's a tier three.
Does the state have a rational basis to hold its peace officers to a high standard of integrity?
Of course they do. But if they join the
KKK. Public service or not?
If they join the KKK, which is, we don't want them to do that. We want them to go on and argue Hitler's manifesto. We don't want them to do that. That is not an offense. Every citizen in Ohio can have sexual conduct with somebody who is the proper age of 16. That's what this officer did. He's a peace officer. He did not tell anybody he was a peace officer. But aside from that, when we talk about whether
Mr. Perez, maybe I'm not following you this morning. I think what Justice O'Donnell is asking, can't the Ohio General Assembly make a public policy statement all by themselves and say, look, police officers are important. We're going to hold them to a higher standard than the whole rest of the world. And we're going to say, if you as a police officer have sexual relations with a minor, you're going to have a bigger penalty than everyone else. Now, isn't there a rational basis to support that statute?
No. First of all, there is no penalty for anybody else. And they're making criminal conduct with no relationship. This police officer and any peace officer under the statute is really invisible if they're not using their authority.
But counsel, aren't you making an as-applied challenge when you make that argument?
I argue as-applied when I can't argue anything other than the fact that he's a peace officer? There's no mens rea, there's no intent. Do I argue to the jury that he's not a peace officer at the moment he's having sexual conduct? You can't argue as-applied on this. There is no circumstance when you set up a statute that says, if you're a peace officer, if you have sexual conduct with somebody who is 16, which everybody else is entitled to, it's a crime.
But you could be making an as-applied challenge to say he didn't coerce. He didn't use his position.
The statute doesn't require coercion.
But in terms of making an as-applied challenge to the statute itself, you could be making that argument, and you're not.
I disagree. I think that the statute on its face has no rational basis for prohibiting a peace officer. And we may hold peace officers to higher standards. That doesn't mean that the higher standards, I mean, we're held to a higher standard. We lawyers and judges are held to a higher standard. Does that mean that if we have sexual conduct with a 16-year-old, it's an automatic crime or other things?
Well, there might be a rational relationship, rational basis for doing that. I get your argument that on its face, there is an equal protection problem. I get that. But in terms of your argument that, well, there was no coercion here, that is an as-applied challenge that is different from a facial challenge.
But there is no requirement in the statute of coercion.
It's inferred, I guess, by
I guess you can infer it. I mean, you can infer that you can't sell Kool-Aid, you can't let a pastor sell Kool-Aid because Jim Jones used it to kill a number of people in wherever he was. But you can infer anything when you talk about hypotheticals.
What was the standard that you think the 8th District used in terms of whether, what was the burden?
They identified a potential valid state interest, but they felt that the rational, that the means used was irrational, and they both agreed on that.
Was the standard used one that the state, that you had to show that it was invalid in all circumstances or that there was no possible?
I believe the Court of Appeals enunciated in their decision that our burden is to establish it as unconstitutional under all circumstances, and they considered that when they made their decision. They enunciated that as part of our burden, recognized that, and therefore found that the statute was unconstitutional.
Mr. Perez, if Section 13 were to include something like the officer while arresting a minor engaged in sexual conduct, would that be a different situation? Because there would be a relationship written within the statute.
I think the statute, well, there's another statute that says if you're in custody of a police officer and there is sexual conduct, and that shows a relationship. But I think there has to be some, when you look at the sexual battery statute and everything else it prohibits, there has to be a relationship with the possibility of coercion. So if the statute doesn't require some use of authority by the peace officer, by the way, a sergeant of arms is included in that as one of the individuals who are held responsible for this statute, that the statute has to have some means of setting up an authority, an arrest, or some way for coercion. I mean, there are many other, probation officers don't have, social workers don't have any of those requirements. Teachers who are prohibited from having sexual conduct with minors are with their class or their, the students are not prohibited for having sexual relations in another school. So they can have sexual relations with someone who is the age of consent.
So your answer to Justice Lanzinger is the thing that is fatal to this statute is the failure to include in the statute a proof that the peace officer exercised that special authority that the peace officer had.
Exactly, Your Honor. And it's interesting.
In the committing of the prohibited act.
Correct. Some coercion, some method to have authority, some kind of local parentis or control or some method over the individual other than just being a peace officer, which nobody may know about it. And even if it's known that this individual is a peace officer outside of his jurisdiction or within his jurisdiction and doesn't use that, if he's off duty or whatever, and even if he says, you know, I'm a peace officer, how does that in itself cause any authority be used against somebody? I mean, there has to be some sort of...
If you're a young child, if you're 16 or 17, and somebody says, you know, one of the things that I'm going to tell you about myself is, hey, I'm a police officer, I think that can be a coercive or intimidating element to the relationship.
Well, I don't think that individual has any authority over the 16-year or 17-year-old.
I don't know that I would agree, go so far as to say that I think that the individual has to have authority. In other words, be in their home jurisdiction, etc.
Maybe wearing a uniform, maybe in their own jurisdiction, but extra jurisdictional, out of uniform, I'm a police officer.
Counsel, I think you're weakening your argument.
Pardon?
You're weakening your argument.
Well, let me
pointed out to you the what appears to be the fatal flaw, and that is no requirement to prove
established police
that there was some indication of that special authority that the peace officer has.
There has
to
be.
But when you start saying, well, if he was a Columbus policeman and he was out in Hilliard and did this, where he doesn't have any authority, that's pretty weak.
Perez, let me ask you a new question, if I can. Do peace officers have access to databases not accessible to ordinary citizens by virtue of their authority?
They do, but they're
peace officers.
They do, but they're limited as to how they can use that, and there are specific penalties for them misusing the databases. So they can't just look up the girl they saw driving by in a car and check on that girl because
Let's say they shouldn't, but if one was intent, they also shouldn't be having sex with minors. But obviously, it happened.
But it's permitted under the law, Judge. You know that.
Not with minors.
16 is the age of consent.
All right. Let's say with 14-year-olds.
Well, but that's not part of this statute. This statute refers to minors.
You know, there is another law. 2 years difference between the child and the officer. Isn't that what it says?
Well, it does, but it's 2 years has to be...
The point I'm trying to get you to address is not what the statute says. I can figure that out. The issue I'm interested to have you address is, don't peace officers have special access to databases and other investigative procedures that the ordinary public doesn't have available to it?
They do, but it still gets down to the fact that statute does not require a relationship. It doesn't require authority. Peace officers have...
going back to relationship, and I'm talking about the authority vested in a peace officer in the state to segregate that person as one singled out by the General Assembly to high standards of integrity and character and morality. And why can the General Assembly not do that? Why is that not a rational basis to justify this statute in your view?
Because they didn't enunciate any of that in the statute. They basically said a peace officer. They didn't enunciate any elements. The AG's office in their brief says, well, the reason, you know, they were concerned that if they had to put other information that would establish proof, it would be too hard to prosecute these people. But in a rape case, somebody says I was raped, somebody says I didn't, a jury makes a decision on that, and they balance everything. Just because a peace officer, and not all peace officers have access to that, a police officer might, he's not supposed to use it that way. So if he's acting with a higher standard, he's not supposed to even be looking up people, but it's really not a function of this statute. This statute doesn't require any of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hendershot.
And Chief Justice O'Connor, I may please the court. Let me start where my friend ended, not where he ended, but I guess at one point in the middle of his discussion. I think he hit the nail on the head about the statute when he said the statute is about the possibility of coercion. So the question about this statute, is there a relationship requirement in it? Is that something that is a rational policy choice of the General Assembly to hold police to a different standard than ordinary citizens is? Can they attack that problem of the possibility of coercion without making an element of the statute? Certainly under rational basis scrutiny, that is a legitimate choice of the General Assembly. They're given a wide berth, as this court and the U.S. Supreme Court have said over and over on rational basis scrutiny. So they can attack the problem of sexual predation by peace officers on children, and the interest in upholding the integrity of police officers. They can attack that problem by saying we will criminalize sexual relations between peace officers and minors, even without making an element of that crime, that the job somehow facilitated the crime.
But that's not criminal for anybody else. It'd be maybe different, and maybe you can help me understand this, if it was criminal activity for somebody else to do that, and the penalty was only enhanced because it was a police officer. I think that you'd be in better situation. But here, they're taking activity that is not criminal for other adults with, you know, 16-year-olds, children, you know, older than 16, and criminalizing it. And that's the line that's been drawn here, and the rational basis for that is what we have to wrestle with.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It is not, what is criminalized here is not criminal for the general public. But remember, I'm not sure whether we're still talking about a facial attack or an as-applied attack after listening to my friend here, but we're looking at how this statute was applied here. I think that's really what the question is before the court. It was applied to a two-decade age differential, a police officer having sex with a 14-year-old. That's certainly within the core of a rational basis for the General Assembly to pass. But, Your Honor, to your question as to can the General Assembly rationally choose to treat the police in terms of making something criminal different from the public, they certainly can. They've done that in other parts of the statute as well when it comes to teachers both in secondary schools and in colleges and clerics. They're all treated differently than the members of the general public. And look at some of the cases that we cite to you in our brief that talk about other ways the General Assembly has distinguished police from the general public.
Is it overbroad to use peace officer as opposed to police officer?
I don't think it's overbroad, Your Honor, and further, I would say on a facial attack, if we're not talking about the First Amendment, overbreadth is not really our concern. I mean, that's what the U.S. Supreme Court has said for decades. Look at Allen versus Ulster, for example. Overbreadth is where we have concern about chilling protected First Amendment activity. There's not a concern here when this lawsuit is about the heartland of the statute, a police officer having sex with a 14-year-old, concerns about whether it reaches the sergeant-at-arms or a park officer.
But it's not
those
just sex with a 14-year-old, because that's not, it's a police officer having sex with someone under the age of 18.
Right. You know, the simple point I was trying to make there is that in this case, it was a police officer with a 14-year-old.
But he wasn't convicted of having sex with the 14-year-old. It doesn't matter if this victim would have been 16. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, the statute certainly reaches anyone up to 18.
Up to 18. It criminalizes activity for a peace officer for having sex with, well, certainly a 14-year-old, but anybody would be penalized for having sex with a 14-year-old. We're talking about potentially a 16 or 17-year-old.
I think the key word there, Your Honor, is potentially. That's where I think the 8th District went radically off base, and that is to consider hypothetical applications of the statute instead of what happened here. This is the heartland of the statute, a police officer, a 14-year-old. But even if you look at 16...
Was he convicted of having sex with a 14-year-old?
The offense he committed under the language of the statute, it was anyone under 18.
Right.
The facts are that it was a 14-year-old.
I understand that, but he didn't get convicted of that. In fact, the jury didn't convict him of that, right?
Well, there was a hung jury on the separate statute that applies to all members of the public.
Which is the one of having sex with a 14-year-old.
Well, that is 16 or under 16.
Under 16, I understand that. He was not convicted of having sex with a minor under the age of 16.
That's right.
Is that true?
That is true.
All right, so that's not before us. That doesn't enter into our consideration here as far as I'm concerned. We're looking at the application of this statute prohibiting a peace officer from having sex with someone under the age of 18. Forget about the egregious conduct of having sex with a 14-year-old. That's not, it's the statute and the language of the statute.
Sure, and that comes down to, can the General Assembly distinguish police officers from other members of the public?
So they're criminalizing activity for a police officer that is not criminal for other members, other adults in Ohio.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Other parts of the statute do that. That's a rational choice the General Assembly can make where they're given a wide berth as
What's the rational basis for doing that?
Well, I think it's twofold. It is protecting children, and it is maintaining public confidence in police officers.
Okay, why is it more egregious if an unidentified police officer who will have sex with a 17-and-a-half-year-old as opposed to some other person, a plumber having, sex with a 17-and-a-half-year-old. What's the difference there when the police officer is not identified and there is no relationship and there is no coercion?
One is the possibility of coercion. So even it does not need to be an element of the statute for the General Assembly to say the way we're going to attack this problem where there's a naturally coercive relationship between the police and all of the public, unlike teachers that have a coercive relationship with a subset of the public, the police have a potentially coercive relationship with all of the public. And the General Assembly said, we're going to protect children from that potentially coercive relationship by saying it is criminal for a peace officer to have sex with someone under 18. But we're not going to make it an element of the crime. We're concerned about under enforcement. We'd rather attack this issue, and that is a choice that we give
so,
wide
so
berth.
So are you
to
saying that, the statute doesn't provide for any exceptions to that, does it? Peace officer having sex with someone under the age of 18.
There is, Your Honor, basically a two-year carve-out. So if there's less than a two-year age differential, so it's someone just shy of
what
their
18th. What about if they're married?
Yes, that is accepted.
That is an exception in the statute?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Your Honor, really the question comes down to, is there a rational basis both for protecting the public and maintaining the integrity of police officers to distinguish police officers from the public? There certainly is a rational basis. This statute is constitutional. We urge you to reverse the judgment of the 8th District. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, gentlemen, and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you call a recess?